some wonder. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul,
Lord
my God, to thee, how great thou art,
how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, to
Savior, to thee,
how great thou art,
how great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees,
sings my soul how great
when I
thou
look down
art,
from mountain mountain mountain
and
hear the brook
and hear the gentle breeze,
how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in.
Then sings my soul how great thou art,
that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Then sings my soul,
how great thou art,
how great
thou art,
how great thou art,
my God, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. is the cleansing, all doubts disappear. I live again when He is
power real and really might, thy presence as before, to see it strong before, to know that thou art all my life and more,
and He is here, my Lord. His touch I feel, His voice I hear, His love shines in, doubts disappear. I live again when He is near.
I find my rest, and here my Lord abide. My heart so close to thine, thy presence ever mine, so near thy side. And He is near, my Lord is near. Presence real, His touch I feel, His voice I hear. His love shines in, all doubts disappear. I live again when He is near. I live again when He thank you.
this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll get there in just a few minutes to that passage. I just want to once again thank all of you for having us, thanking Pastor and his wife for their friendship to us. Never knew that a steak and shoes would turn into a friendship like this, and just very blessed with the friendship that we have with the Madrids. And I'm back. Okay, I'm not back on. Here we go. Am I on? Okay. All right. Just making sure. I
drive guys nuts when I'm traveling because I always do it backwards. I think I turn it on and I turn it off. So I apologize, brother. I will take the blame. Nothing. Do not look back there. It is all right here. Okay. Those guys get too much blame. It's half the time. I'm doing funny things up here. So, you know, he's doing a great job with the green ball. Great job back there. And we thank you. I'm actually serious. The guys in the back have been great all weekend. But we just appreciate our friendship with the Madrids. And we travel around, and you don't always find kindred hearts wherever you go. And one of the greatest things my wife and I get to do when we travel is to meet pastors and their wives. And we become friends with a lot of them. In a friendship sense, just a general sense, but the Madrids have become close friends and really have made a difference in our lives, and really has God's used them to grow us. And my wife and your pastor's wife Melissa, they text quite a bit, contact quite a bit, and then little Lauren, my 5-year-old, is very good friends with Shalissa, and it means a lot. My 5-year-old thinks the world of her, and just need the connection that God gives. Isn't that neat how God does that? And praise the Lord for that. And all the way over here in Pennsylvania, my daughter, every time she's in the car when I drive past the mailbox to get the mail, did Shalissa send me a letter? Every single time. I said, well, babe, you should probably send her a letter so you can get one back. But it's just neat. This far away, how God can use friendships. And so you're blessed here. You have a good pastor, and you are... I'm just encouraged by your church. I can't wait to see what's happening. I wish I could come out here for your Christmas village. I really wish I could, but that's right during our Christmas village. So, and I'm in charge of it, so I can't leave at all. But I'm thinking about sending my wife out for the first weekend. We'll see. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But if you see her show up, I'm not with her. So I'll be here in spirit. But just excited to see what God's doing here. You are in a great area. God can do great things. And just to be able to be a part of it here this weekend has been a blessing. Thank you for welcoming our team. And if you do not know our team, let me just have them quickly stand up, all of them. I know you just saw them, but all of them. This is not just them. So stand up in the front here, and then Abigail and Leah in the back there as well. Very good. Okay, you can have a seat. Very good. They've been kind of behind the scenes, but they have been a huge help. Abigail is actually my assistant in the productions realm, and works with that and does a lot of things, even stuff like this. She'll come on trips like this. Leah is the secretary for the On to Victory Press, which Everlasting Praise is a part of, and she's been a huge machine and engine going through with all of this burden of Everlasting Praise Music Retreat. And then the one you don't see here, I mentioned it to the first session, but some of you know Claire, her new name used to be Claire Ryan, but Claire Swanson, my new sister-in-law, is my secretary for Everlasting Praise specifically, and so they all work together, and we're just excited. And for those of you that don't know this, this is the first of many retreats, Lord willing, around the country. And I do not say this to pat you in the back. I'm going to say it again. I said it yesterday. This really has launched us. Our mind, we have just on the way to dinner last night, we were just writing tons of ideas down for going forward. And I'm going to come back and do one again here. This is centered in a great place in eastern Pennsylvania for a lot of churches, maybe to come in and get blessed that way. But just you, this allowing us to come and allowing us to pour into you, you've given us a trampoline, basically, to jump to the next one. And so we will always remember Faith Bible Church is our first one. And we'll see how it goes, and we're excited what God's doing this time. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to get there in just a moment. Speaking today of spirit-filled music, and really spirit-filled life and how that affects it. You've heard the terminology, maybe the phrase, you are what you eat, right? You ever seen a junior higher? skinny as a stick, that just irritates me. But skinny as a stick, maybe they're not even junior higher, like 30 years old, same old, you know, close to my age. And they just stuff it in. You know what I'm talking about? Actually, when I was junior higher, I could stuff it in. The day I was joking at Sunday school, I banged into a garage and knocked myself out. That is actually a true story. That same day, I was at my cousin's house, Joanna's house. I'm not sure if you were even alive at that point. It would have been either alive, just a baby. I had a birthday party for somebody, and I ate, I think my cousin's, her older brother's telling me, 17 tacos. Yeah, oh. I don't think I gained a pound. 17 tacos. I was, what, 12, 13, you know? Don't look at me so, come on. We all did that, right? Come on, somebody like, that's really gross. It is gross, but that's what junior hires do, right? Can you imagine what the insides of a junior hire looks like? No, we don't want to imagine that. But you are, you know, these guys, these people are, they're just stuffing their face, right? And, that, you know, you look at these guys who are fit and trim, right? And these bodybuilders, not the bodybuilders like the crazy ones, but like the guys who are just strong and the athletes. And besides the one that takes steroids, the guys who do it for real, the guys who work out in the gym, they don't eat that stuff, right? Their body's much more healthy, and they make decisions to be like that, right? And there's specific decisions in their life, in their personal life, that end up like that, right? You see people behind me like this, right? Obviously, parents had a huge deal to do with this, by the way, parents. It's a big deal. You will affect the trajectory of your child. It's a big, big deal, especially in the music world, music realm. But these people back here behind my team, as they were playing, that didn't just happen overnight. Do you know that? Right? It happened over a personal decisions. Yes, sometimes it was helped by their parents, right? Everybody? Is there some helping going on sometimes? Yes? Okay. I remember the helping that was going on. I had a lot of help to me. My daughter right now is in the stage where she loves to practice, so not a lot of help going on. My son, maybe not so much. But they had to make personal decisions to become like this in their own personal life. You know, our personal decisions affect who we are. Did you know that? Our personal decisions affect our ministry, it affects our family, it affects our church. And, you know, God has a plan for this age. He really does. He, through the body of Christ, the church, and through individuals living in union with the risen Savior, in obedience to His Spirit, He wants to be uplifted, He wants to be glorified, He wants to be honored. Ephesians chapter 3, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And pastors mentioned this phrase a few times this weekend, but each of us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 14, each of us as individual members of the body of Christ should be to the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. So believers, we must take great care to make sure our personal lives and what we do, and the decisions of our lives, and the steps that we take, honor and glorify God. Our personal decisions affect our ministry. You know, we've talked about the battle for Christian music. We've talked about the war that is out there. We've talked about some of the principles. We've talked about some of the practical things. We've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about in breakout sessions how to sing better, how to play your violin better, how to play an orchestra better, how to, whatever, be in a choir. We did all those things. But before all that can be discussed and really learned, we have to understand that our decisions that we make in our own personal life will affect all that we do. Now, I'm going to speak about more specifically about music, but it really starts with our own life. So let's look at what God says about this issue of our personal lives. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about that and the impact on the church. You know, let me make a statement here. When we get to heaven, do you know it's not going to matter who is the most conservative in music? Now, is it good to be God-honoring and conservative? Absolutely. But I think there's sometimes in our circles a race to be the most conservative. Sometimes it looks like there's a race to be the most not conservative. But most conservative, and I'm more conservative. Let me throw a bomb over here. Let me hurt this person. Or, you know, let's not. No. You know, when we get to heaven, it's not going to matter who the most conservative person was. It's going to matter how we obeyed, honored, and followed the Lord in every aspect of our lives, which, by the way, will cause you to be conservative if you're biblical. We live in a day when Christians, the younger generation, the Z generation, they don't live as those standards and principled living that matters, do they? We talked about that just in the last session in Sunday school. They live as though God just created in life one big gray area. But you know what? Our personal decisions affect. They affect our ministry. You know, the personal decisions in my life affect what I do. The decisions that each one of these young people and graduates of our school and staff members and faculty members, they take, the decisions they make affect their ministry. You know, God gave the church to guide and teach us. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, to watch for our souls as they must give account. Ephesians chapter 4, after Paul lays out the doctrine and purpose of the church, and he exhorts believers not to walk as other Gentiles, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is then in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Ephesians 5 continues the command to live as children of light, as new men in Christ. Back to Psalm chapter 40, he says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God is concerned about our personal lives and how it affects the ministry of our church. And Ephesians chapter 5 is an incredible passage of Scripture. It gives so many specific commands and directions on how our little decisions and our lifestyle will, in the context of the church, will affect people around us. And I want to read a little bit of a longer passage of Scripture here, but I think the context will help us as we go along. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. And here's the question I want you to think about while we're reading this passage of Scripture. I want you to think about this. How can our lives bring honor and praise to our glorified Savior? Verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be therefore partakers with them. Before ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and even continues on, giving thanks, submitting yourselves, and on it goes to the passage. What is this passage talking about? Verse 1 talks about being followers of God. Verse number 2 talks about walking in love and the example of Christ. Verses 3 to 7, putting away the things of this world. Verse 8, walking as children of light in contrast to the darkness that you came from. Verse number 9, that the one who walks with God will exhibit in his life goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, one who walks in the light will know, will find out what is acceptable to their God. Verses 11 to 14, the command to have no fellowship with those from the darkness of this world, but reprove and correct them. Verse 15, walking wisely. The world is there to destroy you. Look out for that. Verse 16, don't let the world control your time. Verse 17, understanding God's will. A lot of us don't do that. Verse number 18, this is what we're going to focus in on. Every part of your life should be under the control of the Holy Spirit, which will result in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God honoring praise through music and exhortation to your fellow men. On verse 20, thankfulness for everything. And then verse 21 and onward, unity in relationships. An incredible passage of Scripture. But I think verses 18 and 19 come after all these different things. It's no mistake. The remainder of Ephesians focuses on relationships, which is the ultimate outgrowth of our personal decisions, right? We make personal decisions, and what happens? We look at a husband and wife relationship. We look at children and parent relationship, and our personal decisions affect those relationships. They affect the unity. God, Satan will try to attack, but God, through God's strength, we can withstand those. And obviously, Ephesians 6 talks about the attacks of Satan as we live to the praise of his glory. Let me draw your attention to some of you who wrote this down. I'm going to read it again. The definition we brought up on Friday night. The definition we brought up on Friday night. I will read it for you. If you don't want to write it down, that's okay. It's a longer definition. And I'm going to put the word life interchangeably with music as well. It says this. The definition is a God-honoring life or God-honoring music is one that is completely under the control of the Spirit of God. Does not contain any worldly, fleshly, or self-centered elements. A God-honoring life or God-honoring music communicates biblical truth powerfully to a man's spirit or those around them. And ultimately, it pleases the Lord and brings glory to his name. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is that your life? Is your life God-honoring, under the control of the Spirit of God, has no worldly, fleshly, or self-centered elements, it communicates biblical truth to those around them, and your life, ultimately, at the end of the day, at the end of your life, it has pleased God, and it brings glory to his name. You think, Brother Van Gelderen, that's a tall order. That's the Christian life. Now, we're not going to be perfect, but that's what God wants for us in our life. And I will tell you, if we can get that in our life, if we can get that in our personal decisions, it will affect every aspect. And one of those aspects, very clearly, as we see the outgrowth in verse number 19, is music, praise. What opens chapter 5 there? It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. It's not a suggestion, is it? Is that a suggestion? No. Be followers. Hey, Christian, I want you to understand that you must follow Christ. And here we are in verse number 18, as it says, be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Not just talking about the wine and the drink and the alcohol, though it's very much an application. But don't be controlled by anything besides the Spirit of God. As much as drink, and maybe you've seen this. It's a sad thing to see, isn't it? Walking down the street, sometimes it causes children to laugh or young people to laugh, and sometimes even will kind of chuckle. But honestly, it's the saddest thing in all the world, isn't it? Drive through a city, and you see drunk people walking down the street. Sometimes they're not homeless bums. They're high-level executives, business people, respectable people in the community. And what happens when that drink takes over their body? They do things they would never have dreamed of. The inebriation causes them to drive cars and kill people. It causes them to act erratically. It causes them to stumble around and fall on the ground and fall asleep in the middle of weird places and pick fights with people and do all kinds of things. And their body is so under the control of the alcohol that they cannot do anything else but what's telling them to do. So here's the question. There's going to be four different questions. Two of them I'll ask this morning. Two of them I'll ask tonight. From Ephesians 5. But the first question is this. Who controls your life? Who controls your life? The definition here that we gave this morning and on Friday. A God-honoring life is one that is completely under the control of the Spirit of God. Christian, what does that mean? Completely under the control of the Spirit of God. How powerful is you? It's not good grammar, but how powerful are you, me, ourself, selfishness, carnality? How powerful is that? It's pretty powerful. How powerful is are the selfish desires that come up in our life? You know, I have the most precious, sweet little 5-year-old daughter. She's saved. She's indwelt with the Holy Spirit. She is an exciting little person to be around. But, oh man, can that selfishness come, right? Now, she'll do at 5 years old, she'll come out with, or her face will show, what we as sophisticated adults don't show, but we're thinking, right? All right, I can get a little agreement here. I know it's Sunday morning and we're preaching a message, but am I right? I am right. Yes, you know the same. We're all selfish. If you're not selfish, please tell me the formula, because I would love to know. We are all selfish. You know, I deal with her, and I walk it through it there, but I've told multiple times, in the middle of dealing with her, the Lord will show me, Daniel, you're just as selfish as she is. And it's true. I'll make decisions for myself, and it's so easy to fall into that. Who controls your life? The Bible tells us here to be under the control, be filled with, be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. How does that work? Colossians 2, verse 6. Turn with me there, just a few pages over. Colossians 2. I don't want to spend a long time, but I honestly, all this music stuff makes no sense unless we get this. Colossians 2, 6. This isn't new information and new truth. This is just a reset and a kind of a focus on it. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We'll just pause there, just read that verse for now. How were you saved? You're saved by faith. But the Lord tells us here in this verse, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord by faith, so walk ye in him. You know how you combat selfishness? By faith. Every single step of the way. You know, when you are selfish, you made a decision to be selfish. Am I right? You made a decision to be selfish. If you wanted to do something for yourself and to push away your wife or push away your husband or push away your family in that moment, you was all about yourself, or push away your church or people around you, and you made a decision, that was a personal decision you had to make yourself. Sometimes we'll think, well, I couldn't help it. Really? We really couldn't help it? Sometimes we make excuses about the reactions, but I will tell you, we have given ourselves so many excuses, but we make decisions ourselves. Galatians chapter 5. Turn it with me over back to there. Galatians chapter 5. Right here in these couple of verses, a couple of books here. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you're walking by faith, you're making personal decisions in dependence upon God, you're asking him for his power and his grace as you're walking, God will work in your heart. But I'm going to tell you this right now. To be under the control of the Spirit of God, we'll talk about this in the next point, you can't have worldliness, fleshliness, self-centered things in your life. So who are you surrendered to? Who are you under? What is controlling you? A lot of times, we're so selfish and we're so focused on the world and we're so in tune with the world that we allow the world and the world's agenda to control us. Well, I'm not listening to the world. Really? We dress like them. We talk like them. We do what they tell us to do with our hair. You see that with kids, with teenagers, right? Teenagers, from the time they're sixth grade, middle school, all the way to high school, 18 years old and graduating, how many times does their hairstyle change, their dress style change? Sometimes it changes a lot. It'll change and they'll be told what to do. Now it's a very, 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 very insidious, evil way these people are doing. They're trying to get them to change their gender and all these different things, and they're really going after it in these high schools. And the peer pressure is incredible, and their agenda is incredible, and they shift and they go with whatever they're told to do. And we as Christians look at that and go, oh, it's so sad, that's not good. We do the same thing in our own life. We aren't under the control of the Spirit of God. We aren't walking with him. We aren't taking specific steps to obey him. So who are you surrendered to? Let's control. Let's apply this music to our, sorry, our question to the music choices in our life. Who controls your music? Look at verse number 18. A life that is filled with the Spirit, there's a semicolon there, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Someone who is filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit can't help but praise God. I think what I want to focus on here is the overflow. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A heart that is filled with praise, a person that is filled with praise, and you're like, wow, this person is just praising God. It's because their heart is overflowing. It's someone who is controlled by the Spirit of God, walking with Him, and they're just overflowing. They can't help it. It's like, You ever seen somebody that came, if there's videos online, but the person that was put under, you know, for dental work? You ever seen those videos? Come on, anybody see those videos? A little raise of a hand here. They've been out for dental work, and they come out of it, and people are asking questions, and they're answering completely whacked out answers. It's quite hilarious, actually. Sometimes it's quite a funny thing. But they can't answer anything. They're completely under the control of that anesthesia. Still, you know, maybe a couple hours later, it will turn out funny. It'll be funny. What happens? We talked about the drunk person. That's not funny. But let me ask you that question: is your life and what is in your life and what you allow to come into your life and what you allow yourself to listen to and to watch, is it under the control of the Holy Spirit? Or is it under the control of the world? Does it reflect the nature of God? You know, a spirit-filled man listens to music that reflects the beauty, passion, power, and nature of a holy God. Doesn't he? A spirit-filled person who is indwelt with the Holy Spirit and has allowed the Holy Spirit to control his life does not allow himself to be in the presence of sin. Does not allow himself to be in the presence of the world. A spirit-filled man will not allow elements of the world to be in any aspect of his life. That is why he is spirit-filled. He's made decisions to turn away from the world and to follow Jesus Christ and to walk with him by faith. So what is the music choices in your life? Are they under the control of the devil's elements? Are they under control and the nature, reflect the nature of what God would have? Second question this morning, we have to be done here, and we'll cover more of this as we go along. First question was, who controls your life? Number two, what does your life contain? And kind of is a little bit of overlap, but the definition says, does not contain any worldly, fleshly, or self-centered elements. You know, so many times we have worldly reactions to life's temptations, don't we? The first part of this whole passage talks about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, that let it not be once named among you. The Bible says in 1 John 2, 15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Romans 12, 2, we talked about this yesterday. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your personal decisions will affect and impact your ministry, will impact your life, it will impact your family. Multiple people, I talked about this yesterday as well, multiple people that I know, pastors, laymen, that I respected or at least knew of in respectable positions, made personal decisions in their life, knocked them out of the ministry. The Bible says it should not be once named among us. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Galatians 5, 22-23, we know these verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We talked about Colossians 3, 16. I won't read it there. But if someone were to look at your life, what does it contain? ungodly or worldly elements, sin or self? Is the world just all through your life? Is it just the worldliness? Or is your life overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit? How does that apply to music? Well, your music comes out of your personal choices. What does your music contain? What in your music, is it worldly? Is it looking over the world? It's just full of the world's music. Okay, let's just go out on a limb. Is it music that contains, you know, is it country or and rock music? Maybe some of you are thinking, well, I'm here at church and I'm a good person, but what happens when you get in your car, you go in your room, you put on your headphones, you open your Spotify app, you make specific choices about the music there. Exodus 32 talks about the noise of war, the noise of them that were worshiping the golden calf. They were down there worshiping God. Moses and Joshua went up into the mountain and they started worshiping idols. And people make arguments about what that actually means. But whatever it means, they said it sounds like the noise of war. They were in worship. It was chaotic. It was devilish. It was idol worship. Let me ask you a question. What if we were to hear what comes out of your own music, what would the focus be on? What does it contain? Worldly, fleshly, or self-centered elements. Is the music played in your car, in your home, to make you feel good? Is the music played so you can feed on that emotions? Maybe you're down and having a bad day. Let me just turn on this music, and a lot of people will go to their favorite ballads or favorite this or favorite soul music, and they'll listen to it and they'll feed themselves. And have to be careful, very, very careful. I heard this quote one time: "Music is the cheapest mind-altering drug in the world." It's right there. Drugs cost a lot of money. Music doesn't. But it honestly is probably the most powerful drug. I won't call it a drug all the time, but it can be a drug in the world. People get controlled by it. Now, so if we all popped open and we put the screen down and we hooked our phones up to the computer and bink, maybe you don't have a Spotify account, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, whatever you do, CDs, records, maybe you don't play music in your home, but the radio. What is it? What's in it? What's contained in it? Worldly music? Would it honor God? Would the music itself and the sensuality of the beat and the immoral lifestyle of the artists and the wickedness of the lyrics, would that be God honoring to God? Well, maybe it's just not so bad music. Maybe it's just, you know, but I do it to, I listen to this music and it doesn't have a beat to it, but it's just kind of really emotional and it makes me feel good. And I'm just kind of, you know, I just have to soothe my soul with it. Doesn't make me think about God at all, no, but it's kind of questionable, but I played it for a while. I don't think it's that big of a deal. What does your music contain? Your personal choices are going to affect people. The Bible is clear. Let me say this right now. The conscience of a Spirit-filled man knows what godliness is. They go, I don't know what's good or bad. God does. Walk with Him, He'll let you know. The problem is, across Christianity today, in our homes and our churches, we have hurt and destroyed consciences, don't we? They're desensitized. Each one of us has personal decisions in our own life. And here are the two questions this morning, and we'll be done. Who's in control of your life? Who's in control of your life? If you're saved, obviously you're not going to be indwelt by the devil. You can't have that happen to you. But Satan can poke and prod and tempt and push. So who's in control of life? And secondly, what does your life contain? Are you allowing the music of the world to pour in? Maybe it's not the music of the world. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's a dumbed down music. Maybe it's appropriate music or a semi-appropriate music, and you know, and you've had doubts about it, and you think, well, I don't know. But let me tell you this: the more wrong decisions you make in your life and other issues, personal issues, you will allow more music to come in. I know people, I know pastors, I know friends of mine that had made personal decisions about personal holiness standards and holiness convictions and things in their life, and they made decisions and they weakened them, and they said, make excuses about this, and we'll watch this, we'll do this, and down, 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 down. And guess what? Eventually, everything came crashing down. And when you allow your life to have worldliness in it, it will seep into every area and affect you. We'll finish that definition tonight, talking about communicating biblical truth and how to bring glory to God's name. We'll even probably bring up some specific application as we go on tonight. But I guess the question to you is this. Are you filled with the Spirit? Is He in control of your life? Are you walking every single day by faith? Are you following Christ? Is that your life? Are the specific decisions you make, the music you listen to, the choices you have, what you allow into your home, into your ears, into your home, into your body, what you allow, the personal decisions you make, is that under the control of the Spirit of God? A Spirit-filled man knows what his God wants. God might not speak it in audible voices, and He might not write it in the sky. Probably won't. But God will speak in a still small voice to your spirit. He'll say, hey, Daniel, I want you to stop listening to that song. Hey, Daniel, I want you to walk away from what this is. Is this, and here's my will for your life. Hey, Daniel, I want you to, and he'll start doing those things. You'll think, wow, God has a plan for my life. God has something for me when you're walking with Him. Lord, I thank you so much for this. First part of this message, and thank you for the fact that we can walk with you. Thank you for the book of Ephesians, and that's so much truth, so full of truth. Pray to help us, Lord, in this time, even this invitation time, or if you convicted us in any way, that you would allow us to walk with you in such a way, Lord, that we would be willing and obedient, step out in faith, get those things right, and Lord, to have great victory in our life. Lord, Faith Bible Church, great church, so many things happening. Lord, on the verge of just big outreaches and seeing, Lord, you just work in mighty, mighty ways. Lord, the world is ugly and powerful. Satan is powerful and so deceptive. And Lord, we have allowed so many elements and fingers of the world to poke into our lives and hold on. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would allow us to see, especially in the area of music, Lord, as it affects our own lives and will affect this church, Lord, to make decisions, to walk by faith, obey you, be under your control. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.